Ahoy hoy, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your guest. I'm sorry, I am your host. That's the second time that's happened. I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by L. Ray today.
Hello, everybody. I guess I'm the new host for a little bit, at least. became my podcast suddenly, but I'm giving it back to you. There you go.
It was not a senior moment. I am not that old. Just a slip of the tongue, guys. Just a slip of the tongue.
It happens.
Anyway, how you been this week,
Elliot? This week's good. Starting to get into the vacation groove, so to speak.
Yeah, summer officially started, about a week ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, yeah. Something like that. We'll enjoy it while we can.
Yeah.
Anyway, so before I begin the podcast, let me throw a little shout out to my sister-in-law's business because she throws a couple of bucks our way here on the podcast. If you guys are interested in shopping online, I recommend you go to Poshmark and open up an account and use the keyword puppy hustle, all one word, in order to get a $5 discount off your first purchase. What is Puppy Hustle? Like I was saying, it's my sister-in-law's little Poshmark store. She has curated fashion, and it's the perfect mix of modern and vintage, trendy and timeless, and allows us to save the world with sustainable clothing. One pre-loved garment at a time. Sign up for a Poshmark account and use the code word puppy hustle, again, all one word, when signing up for the account, and you get $5 off of your order. I have been doing a little shopping on Poshmark. I've been looking for old comic book t-shirts.
Ah, that's good. And I mentioned on the last podcast that coincidentally I've been looking around on Poshmark too for old band t-shirts and concert shirts, things like that, so...
Yep, it's always a good place to go look for stuff like that.
And you get caught in a rabbit hole every now and then.
Yeah, oh my God. And I think I swore I saw Hammer Pants on sale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talk about throwback.
Tell me you bought them.
Hammer Pants?
Yeah, come on, man.
You don't remember hanging?
I do. Yes, I do. Okay, but, well. I mean, you're going to wear them in public.
No, I never wore them in public.
I know, but no, I mean... Get yourself some. We're around the house.
I did. Well, I was at La Porter.
Oh, God.
Someone did buy them and wore them around the halls.
Wow.
By the way, if you're not familiar with Hammer Pants.
Also called parachute pants.
Parachute pants, yep. They were extremely baggy and the crotch would hang down to about your knees.
Mm-hmm. And if you're too young to remember this, do yourself a favor and look up some old MC Hammer videos on YouTube.
Yes, he wore the hell out of them Hammer Pants. That's why we call them Hammer Pants. Anyway, on to the episode. Today, we're going to be doing Season 2, Episode 12. The episode is called The Way We Was. I know that's grammatically incorrect, guys, but that's the name of the episode. And it aired January 31st of 1998. I was definitely in high school by then. Definitely. Anyway, so like always, we're going to start off with the chalkboard and couch gag. The chalkboard gag, we find Bart writing all over the chalkboard, "I will not get far with this attitude." And the couch gag, everyone runs to the couch. They all plop down and
couch falls.
The couch falls through the floor and the family winds up in the basement.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, it was
solid,
a good one.
Solid. Uh-huh.
So we're going to start off this episode with the Simpson family all around the TV. And then Homer sees that Bart and Lisa are sitting like really, really close to TV. He says, "Do you two have to sit so close to TV? Back up or it'll hurt your eyes." And then Bart says, "It will not." Homer then makes a fist
and says, Yes, it will.
And when the kids see this, they scoot back,
yeah,
not wanting Homer to hurt their eyes.
Apparently, Homer rules at this time with an iron fist.
With an iron fist, that is true. And they're watching one of those movie review shows. I don't think they're around anymore, are they?
Not really. The big one back in, what, the 90s, and I think even the 80s was...
Siskel and Ebert. That was the biggest one. There were a few more, but...
Yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah, now I think everybody just does them online.
Well, when you think about it also, those shows were so popular, remember, there was another animated show back in the 90s called The Critic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need to revisit. They
did do a little crossover episode with The Simpsons.
Yes, they did.
We will get there. But like I said, those TV movie critics were a big thing back in the day. Not so much anymore.
Well, it's different now. Now it's one guy on YouTube.
Yeah.
Reviewing a movie.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this in my economics class all the time. Technology is killing off a lot of jobs, but it's also creating new jobs at the same time.
It's just one of those things we won't know until it happens.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if you'd have told me when I was 18 years old that girls could make money on the internet by showing off their ass on Instagram, I would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? Yet here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. Anyway, back to the episode. So they're watching a movie review show, right? And they show a little clip. Right, and it's an action movie with the action star is McBain,
which is the obvious
knockoff
of Arnold
Schwarzenegger. Right, he's got this thick German accent. He's blonde. He's not brunette like Arnold, but he's big and brawny and German.
And he's not quite Arnold because remember, Arnold is not German.
He's Austrian.
Arnold is Austrian. Yes, yes. Very close.
That's it. Some kids would ask, what's the difference, right? And then like, okay, well, is there a difference between a Mexican and a El Salvadoran?
Exactly.
And yeah, there is a difference, guys. There is a difference. Anyway, the clip goes something like this, right? McBain's captain is yelling at McBain saying, Senator Mendoza is one of the most respected citizens in this state. And McBain answers, and yet you ran his... one of the most... respected citizens in the state, McBain, and yet you ran his limo off a cliff. You broke the necks of three of his bodyguards, and you drove a bus through his front door. And McBain, in his thick German accent, goes, but Captain, I have proof that he is the head of an international drug cartel. I can't do that German accent.
It sounded a little more Russian than German.
Yeah, I think so. I got a pretty mean Russian accent. My German accent is... Anyway, the captain says, I don't want to hear it, McBain. You're out of here. At this point, McBain pushes his captain out of the office window and he falls into the fountain that is in the plaza, many, many floors underneath his office, right? And McBain walks up to the broken window. He says, that makes two of us.
Yeah.
And... you know, you have the TV critics fighting about whether the movie was good or not. We have one of them saying that it's typical
trash. Blah, blah, shoot them, blah, yeah.
And the other one is just loves the action, makes you forget about all of these things. And then they start insulting each other, like, who could possibly find this entertaining besides you in your basement?
It's about as filthy as your one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, and he says, your mother doesn't think so.
Like, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Gloves came off there.
Yeah. At this point, the TV starts acting up. And then Homer tries to fix it. He makes it worse. And he says, I know what'll fix it. And he...
the old way.
Pounds the TV, just like we used to back in the day.
When you could do such things.
Yeah, now you can't, right? There's nothing to pound.
You cannot hit your TV.
No. I think these TVs are like pretty big, but they weigh like 10 pounds at the most.
Yeah.
TVs back then might have been small, but they weighed like 50 pounds.
Well, not only that, I mean, I remember growing up with at my grandmother's house, it wasn't just a TV. It was this whole big console, like, thing surrounding it.
Yes.
It had to weigh, like, 200 pounds, just made of solid wood, like...
I can one-up you there. We had the same thing, but on the side, there was an AM-FM tuner.
Oh, nice. You know what the funniest thing about things are?
What's that?
When that TV stopped working, all that was a shelf for a smaller TV on top.
Very true. And then you could, like, once you unplugged it and you disassembled the TV, you could hide a lot of stuff under there.
That's true.
Yes. Anyway, back to this. So Homer decides to slam the TV with his hand, and it goes off with a blink. Right? Before he says, it's time for Dr. TV to perform a little surgery, right? And he bangs on the TV, and it goes out. Right? And Bart says, looks like you lost a patient, Doc. So, again, like I was saying, the TV went out with a blink. And Bart says, "You looks like you lost a patient, Doc." Yep. And then Homer's like, cheap Chinese TV. What did I ever buy it for? I wasn't aware that Chinese made TVs back in the day.
I think that's pretty right on. Maybe around that time period, this isn't. Maybe it's more of a new thing at the time. That's why he's, cheap Chinese TV.
Maybe, yes.
Could be the shift.
Yeah. We're moving away from Japanese TVs to Chinese TVs. Anyway, so after a while, he's fiddling around. He can't make it better. He just makes it worse. And it just blinks out to one little tiny dot. And then everybody's like, Homer's like, okay, everybody remain calm. And it goes out completely. And the kids let out a scream. In complete disappointment.
They are terrified. Yes. They are distraught. Mm-hmm.
And then Homer says, dear God, just give me one channel. Just one channel. And they even scoot up close to the TV and they stare at the dot. And they say, hey, if you stare at it hard enough, you can actually see something.
Yeah.
And Marge is having none of that. She's like, for God's sakes, right? Just turn it off. And she suggests that they have a family talk.
Marge has seen that the addiction is strong in this family to the television.
And she reminds Homer, before the kids, we hardly used to watch TV at all.
Bart.
And Bart answers, I'm living it, but I ain't loving it. Because he cannot live without TV. And then Lisa asks, how did Dad propose to you? And then Marge is like, oh, well. And she has a little flashback. And in the flashback, they're sitting in front of Dr. Hibbert, who has a magnificent afro at the time. He's much slimmer, too. He says, well, Miss Bouvier, I think we found the reason why you've been throwing up in the morning. And then he points at Homer and he says, congratulations.
Homer.
And then Homer just says, don't! And then Marge's like,
Yes.
Lisa, I'd rather tell you a different story, right? Because she doesn't want to tell
she doesn't
that story.
Want to go down that road.
No. She would rather tell them the story of how they met, not how Homer proposed. It's not really a shotgun wedding, but we could say it was a shotgun fashion, right? Once you knock her up back in the day, you had to marry her. Anyway.
You did the right thing.
So we see Homer driving to school, and he's changing the radio. And then, one of the songs is like, why do birds suddenly appear?
Which is a good song.
It's a good song, right? But not Homer style. So he changes the station. Yes, guys, back then we did listen to the radio. Not just plug in the aux cord from our phone. We listened to the radio.
Even that's getting antiquated.
Yeah, now you just Bluetooth it, right? Anyway. So he changes the station, and Space Cowboy by the Steve Miller Band comes on, and he starts to sing. By the way, if you're not familiar with that song, feel free to unfriend me, guys.
Yeah, feel free. If you've never heard that song before, Yeah. I can't help it.
Yeah. Anyway, so Homer finally pulls up to school, and he runs into a young Barney Gumble. He says, "Hey, Homer, you're late for English." And Homer goes, "English? Who needs that? I'm never going to England. Let's go to the bathroom and smoke," he says.
I love young Homer.
Yeah.
He's just so funny, man. With that magnificent head of hair also.
Yep. Oh, and if you watch the episode, you could see Homer is very slim and trim.
Yes.
But more on that later. Meanwhile, we see Marge with long blue hair, but it's not up the traditional manner that we're used to. It's all flowing down her back. And her friend says, "Don't you think you deserve to earn just as much money as a man who does the same job?" And then Marge goes, "Well, not if I have to do heavy lifting or math." That right there would set off a lot of people nowadays. But thank God for The Simpsons.
This is actually a funny scene, the way that everyone's drawn in this scene and the... and they're just shocked that Marge is, I guess, willing to be domesticated in a sense.
Yeah. Yep. This is back when women were burning their bras, but more on that later. All right, so Homer and Barney duck into the boys' room and they start to smoke.
Smoking in the boys' room.
Smoking in the boys' room. A classic song by Motley Crue.
Well, there's a little history of that.
Who was that first, though?
Band, I think, from Brownsville Station.
The Brownsville Station.
Yeah. The song Smoking in the Boys' Room. And then, of course, Motley Crue made it bigger.
Yep.
But yeah, a little Brownsville history for you right there.
Yep. And they were actually from Brownsville, were they not?
Yes.
Yes, they were. Something. You learn something new every day, guys. There you go. Anyway, so the bell rings and Barney says, "Oh, no, we're late for woodshop." And then Homer goes, "But we're early for lunch. Let's go grab a burger." And then Barney goes, "Boy, you never stop eating and you never gain a pound." To which Homer says,
"It's my, well, he tries to say metabolism is what, metabolism?"
Yep. "It's my metabolism. I guess I'm just one of the lucky ones," he says as he pats his flat belly. We know that his metabolism will not hold up much longer.
No one's does.
No.
Well, very few people.
Very few people, right? A lot of these kids, they think they're going to stay high school skinny forever. Mm-hmm. But once they get out of high school, they stop doing all the high school activities that they were doing. But they keep eating the same way.
Yep.
And they blow up. Word of warning for you guys. Word of warning.
I will say, I consider myself very lucky that I didn't really start noticing that I was gaining weight and my metabolism had gone away until about 30. So, I think I did all right.
So far, so good. Anyway, at this point, the principal Dondelinger, walks in and catches them smoking, right? He says, "Well, if it isn't the resident Cheech and Chong."
Yes, he does. So that begs the question. I thought they were smoking cigarettes.
It looked like they were smoking cigarettes.
But if you're making that joke,
Yeah, but if wouldn't it be worse than detention if they were?
Maybe. Could be.
But it was the 70s.
It is the 70s.
So yeah. Who knows? Anyway. He gives them 3 days detention, and he says, "You know where." They name the building and the time that they need to show up.
They know exactly where they're going.
Exactly. They know where to go, right? And at the same time, Marge is leading a protest outside of the front doors of Springfield High.
She's done a little reading and research, I guess, since the last.
Yes, because her friend gave her a
pamphlet, right, or something like that.
It was a magazine, Ms.
There you go,
Ms. Magazine,
which is actually a thing.
Yeah, yeah. But back, I don't know if it still is. Back then, it was a big feminist magazine. It might still be. I don't know.
I mean, it's still around, but yeah, definitely was around.
Yeah. Well, if I kept up with feminism, I might know, but I don't. So anyway, like I said, Marge was leading this protest, and she's like, "The first step to liberation is to free ourselves from these male-imposed shackles." and she's holding up a bra, and then she has a lighter, and the bra goes up in flames in a hurry. I mean, so fast that all she's left with is her underwire.
Yep.
And the friend says, I didn't think it would burn so fast.
And Marge says, I guess it's the tissue paper inside. So
yes, Marge was doing the old trick back in the day. You got to pad your bra with paper, with some tissues to make your girls look a little bit bigger. Then I was one. That makes me wonder if she's padding her bra, why is she complaining about male oppression?
Mm. I don't know.
Mm. Anyway.
Keep in mind, this is high school Marge.
Yeah, this is high school Marge. And Principal Dondelinger walks out and is surprised to see Marge leading this rally of sorts. And he informs her that she's earned a day's detention. He says, you know where and when. To Marge says, actually, no, I've never had detention before.
So he used to say, that's great.
Yep. So he has to tell her when and where to go for detention, right? Next thing we know, we see Homer and Barney in the detention room, and Barney is desperately trying to find a girl to go to the prom with him. He hasn't developed this drinking problem yet, his alcoholism, but he's still pretty gross.
He still sounds like a drunkard, though.
He still sounds like a drunk, and he burps all the time at inappropriate times and stuff like that. So, needless to say, he's not a favorite of the ladies of Springfield High. So Barney turns and he says, hey, Estelle, would you go to prom with me? Lisa says, I wouldn't go to prom with you if you were Elliot Gould. Elliot Gould is an old man by now. But back then, I guess he was in his prime.
He was quite the heartthrob, I gather.
Yeah, I guess back then he was in his prime. And then Barney whines, oh, shot down again. To which Homer encourages him. He says, don't worry, Barney. It's a big school. There's got to be a girl here nobody else wants to take to the prom. Because apparently that's all Barney can hope for. Yeah. The girl that nobody else wants.
And so we get to a pivotal scene now in Simpsons lore.
Yes. Marge walks in, and all of a sudden, Homer's jaw drops. And what do we hear in the background?
We hear... Why do birds suddenly appear?
Yep. That song that Homer did not want to hear starts playing in his head.
Homer is instantly in love.
Yes. Love at first sight. Right? So she sits down next to Homer, which is very fortuitous for Homer, because he gets to turn around and he says, so what are you in for? And Marge says, I'm a political prisoner. Last time I ever take a stand, she says. And Homer says, well, I'm here for being me. Every day I show up, act like me, and they slap me in here. And the teacher in charge of detention goes, Simpson, be quiet! And Homer says, I haven't seen you in school before. And then the teacher goes, okay, Simpson. Homer goes, what? You just bought yourself another day of detention.
Unfazed.
Yep.
Continues to try to still talk to Marge.
Because he is in love, right? Homer goes, maybe we should get together sometime. 2 days! And then Marge goes, I'm sorry, I don't even know your name. And Homer goes, I'm Homer. 3 days!
Jay.
4 days! Simpson, 5 days! And then Homer goes, it was worth it! 6 days, yells the teacher.
Sends him to the back of the room.
Yep. Says, okay, Simpson, to the back of the room. And Homer didn't put up a fight because he introduced himself to the love of his life, right?
Now, little note on this. Before that whole conversation happens with Marge, Homer has to muscle Barney out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because Barney just got shot down. As soon as Marge walks in, Barney, hey, do you want to go to the...
And then Homer just shoves his face, covers his face and shoves him back.
And he actually says, she's mine.
She's mine. A lot of ladies would probably be offended by that.
But
that's what he said, right? She's mine. Right?
That was great.
The only woman I say that about is my wife. Why? Because it's my wife.
There you go.
My woman. You ladies don't like it. tough. Anyway.
Keep in mind, he's also her husband, so.
Yes.
That works out.
Yes, it does. It goes both ways. And then we return back to the present, and we see the kids looking up at Homer and Marge. And Lisa says, "So, it was love at first sight." And Bart goes, "It was a jailhouse romance, man." And then Homer says, "I reached step one. She knew I existed. The only problem was she didn't care." So, Homer, we continue with the flashback, and we see Homer going to in his house, sitting down, and he's wanting to talk to his dad about the day's events.
Actually, well, his dad kind of notices something's wrong with him, right?
Yeah,
he says, and this is a younger Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah, he's still pretty wrinkled, but not as decrepit as he is now.
Yes, you very red Foreman.
Yeah, he does. You can see little liver spots on his on his hairline where it's receding and stuff like that, right? And then Grandpa says, "What's the matter, boy?" And Homer goes, "Nothing. You haven't said poo all night, and usually have to wrestle the bucket of a bucket of chicken out of your greasy mitts." By the way, the bucket of chicken isn't KFC, but it is Shakespeare's Fried Chicken. I don't know if that's a Midwestern chain or what the hell. I'll need to research that.
I probably just couldn't say
anything. Yeah, maybe
that's probably it.
Right. So because he's not shoveling this greasy fried chicken in his face, Grandpa knows something's wrong with Homer.
This is my favorite part of the episode. My favorite two lines.
And then Homer says, "Dad, I'm in love." And then he says, "Uh-oh, why don't you grab yourself a beer, boy?" And Homer goes, "But Dad, I don't drink." And then Grandpa goes, "Cut the crap. I just collect the cans, Daddy. Now grab yourself a beer and get me one, too." Now, this girlfriend of yours, is she a real looker?
Uh-huh.
A lot on the ball? In other words, is she intelligent? And then Homer answers, "Yeah." And then Grandpa says, "Oh, son, don't overreach. Go for the dented car, the dead-end job, the less attractive girl." "Oh, I blame myself. I should have had this talk with you a long time ago." Why do you think Abraham was discouraging Homer like that, El Rey?
I'm guessing it just, maybe in his own weird, sick ways, trying to protect his son, knowing that what he has. You know, that maybe just thinks Homer is only capable of
so much.
And so much.
He doesn't want him to be disappointed.
Yeah. Or it could just be Grandpa Simpson's own insecurities being pushed on Homer.
Yeah, he might be projecting a little bit. So Homer says, "Thanks, Pop," and he walks away. Next thing we know, we see Homer standing in front of two doors, the counselor's office, right? And he's trying to figure out which is his counselor, right? One of the counselors is A through
M.
M. And the other is N through whatever, right? Yeah. And then Homer's like A, B, C, D, trying to figure out where the S is. So he knows which guidance counselor to go see, because he doesn't know where. Apparently, that S is after N that easily. So he walks in, he says, "Hi, I'm Homer Simpson. I need some guidance, counselor."
And the guidance counselor is surprised to see him. He kind of looks at his info and says, "Wow, okay, we should have probably talked a long time ago."
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, you should have come see me a long time ago, right?" And Homer says, "I just met this girl, Marge Bouvier, and I want her to force her to like me. I want to force her to like me."
So Homer has misinterpreted what guidance counselor actually means in this situation.
He's thinking he's going to guide him in the ways of women.
Yeah.
But he's just there to guide you along your edumacation, right? He's there to make sure you complete your edumacation. But that's not the kind of guidance that Homer was looking for. And then he says, "Well, I'm not that kind of counselor, but I'd like to think that I do something for all of my students."
He does it for all my students, N through Z.
N through Z, yes. So he says, the only advice I can give you is try to share a common interest and spend. How many women do you think would be offended by that now?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you could have some pushback on that. Or you could have some, yes, spend.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, like I told the kids in my classroom, if I had a dollar for every girl who thought I was unattractive, they would find me attractive. Anyway.
Words of wisdom.
Yes, words of wisdom. So.
The counselor still tries to do his job.
He's like, besides giving him the advice of finding a common interest and spending a lot of money, the counselor says, do you have any plans for after graduation? And Homer goes, me? I'm going to drink a lot of beer and stay out all night. To which the counselor says, oh, that's not what I meant. Right? And the counselor gives Homer a brochure about the nuclear power plant that will be opening soon. He says it's one of the few jobs that you can get that pays well without a college education.
Yes. He already knows where Homer's going or not going.
Yes. At this point. My concern is if you're going to send them to a nuclear power plant without an education.
That's very scary.
I would hope that they're in maintenance or sanitation or something like that and not in safety like Homer is. Anyway.
Homer actually makes fun of himself here.
Yeah. He says, hey, imagine me in a nuclear power plant. Kaboom!
Which it does get close to several times.
Yes. So as he leaves the office, he tosses the brochure in the trash while Marge is practicing her debating skills with the debate team as Homer comes in. And Homer walks up to the sponsor, right, and says, my name is Homer Simpson. I'd like to sign up for something. And then the sponsor, the kids call Mrs. B, says, well, we have an opening on the debate team. And Homer says, debate, like arguing? Yes. I'll take it, you dingbat.
And he says he's just warming up.
Yeah. So just warming up, Mrs. Blumenstein.
He's missing the point of the debate already.
Yeah, he says, just warming up, Mrs. Blumenstein. Right, shorten it up so they don't have to say Mr. Blumenstein all the time.
Yeah. So she's just giving them, she gives them the topic, right? Yep. The debate topic.
Yes, it says, this year's topic is resolved. The national speed limit should be lowered to 55 miles per hour. To which Homer responds, 55? That's ridiculous. Sure, a few lives will be saved, but millions will be late. And then the teacher goes, I'll give you the cons, right? You'll argue the cons of it. So next thing we know, we see Homer studying the issue and he's taking notes on index cards. And the only thing that he can think of as an argument for the speed limit being lowered to 55, he writes it down very clearly on the index card. And the only thing he writes is, no way.
So there you go.
that apparently is going to be his argument. Next thing we know, we're at debate team practice again, and Homer gets mad at Artie. This is the first time we see this character, Artie Ziff.
Oh, that's right.
And we will be seeing him again later, because he is obsessed with Marge. But more on that later.
Yeah.
And Homer gets mad at Artie because Artie keeps calling him an ignoramus, right? And then Homer goes, wait a minute, that word you keep calling me. And Artie goes, ignoramus? Ignoramus. That means I'm stupid, doesn't it? There's a difference between ignorance and stupidity. And Homer goes, not to me there isn't. Showing the true depth of his ignorance right there in that argument right there.
Oh.
And Mrs. B steps in and says, Homer, would you like to present your rebuttal? And he says, with pleasure. He turns around, unzips his pants, drops his pants, and he moons the class. Because apparently that's what he thought rebuttal meant.
Yes, rebuttal.
Took it very literally.
Showed his ass to everybody.
Yep. Next thing we know, Homer runs into Marge, who is jogging, and Marge says that he isn't really her type. But Homer pleads, look, I'm not asking you to like me. I'm not asking you to put yourself in a position where I can touch your goodies. I'm just asking you to be fair. And he gives him, and he gives her three references, right?
He says, I have references.
I have references, right? He says, you can talk to Coach Flanagan, the shop teacher, and Barney Gumble. Next thing we know, we see Marge talking to Coach Flanagan, says, Simpson, huh? JV shot putter. If he really applied himself and trained really hard and applied himself, I bet he could throw an extra foot. Which leads us to believe that Homer's athletic prowess leaves a lot to be desired.
Yep, exactly.
Anyway, so she finally gets to Barney, and Barney goes, Homer is all things to everyone, but can be, how was the exact thing?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't remember the exact line here. He is all things to man, but he could be more to one special lady.
Something like that.
Right? And then he turns around and he asks Marge's friend, you want to go to the prom with me?
And her answer is, good God, no.
No, yes.
But Barney says, well put.
Right? Barney, at least he can take rejection with grace. Right? Next thing we know, we're in the lunchroom and Homer asks Marge for her decision. And she says she doesn't have the time because, you know, she's busy preparing for the forensics meet. And she's a French tutor and she does this and she does that. And Homer says, oh, just the class I need tutored in French.
I need help in French.
Right? I need tutoring in French. Playing onto Marge's good-natured heart, right? And then we get interrupted by Bart saying, great story. And he's banging on the TV. And he's like positively spellbinding. And he keeps banging on the TV. And he says, damn you. And then Homer says, Bart, pay attention. You may be telling this to your own son one day if something breaks.
So Bart's having none of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bart is still trying to find a way to keep from hearing this story. So next thing we know, we see young Homer preparing for Marge's arrival for the tutoring session. He puts on some Barry White.
Is it Barry White?
Or is it Al Green?
I don't remember.
It's either Barry White or Al Green.
But of course it's makeup that type music.
It's makeup music. And he dims the light.
Barry White, Al Green, all those guys.
Yep. Typical makeup music. Anyway, and he's getting ready, right? And he's combing his hair, and he spots some hair in his brush. Lost a few, but there's plenty more where that came from. Famous last words from his magnificent head of hair. And Marge finally arrives, and she asks, why is there makeup music on? Why is it so dark? He's like, well, it helps me study.
Yeah.
And Marge is having none of it. Well, it distracts me. And she turns on the lights, turns off the music, and they start the tutoring session. Right? And, you know, they study for a while. Marge gets up to leave because she has a big forensics meet.
A competition the next day.
But Homer doesn't want her to leave, and he suggests a study break, right? And they start dancing around, doing the hustle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And later that evening, Homer says, Marge, when I see you forming the vowels and continents, and then Marge corrects him. Consonants, right? Homer says, consonants with your beautiful mouth, your beautiful breath pushing it past your beautiful teeth. Everything starts to make sense. Everything is sticking, right? Usually things go in and they go out, but with you, they stick. And he says, so will you go out with me? Please say we. And Marge agrees.
There you go. So through persistence and...
hard work, persistence, and refusing to let her leave, he got to break down her defenses. And then Homer goes, "My tux is going to have the widest lapels, the most ruffles, and the highest platform shoes you ever saw." And then Marge goes, "Maybe I'll wear my hair up."
And so they are now going to go to the prom. They've agreed.
They've agreed to go to the prom.
Marge is finally accepted.
Yes. And this is when Homer decides to do something really dumb. He thinks it's not dumb because, you know, he wants to be honest with her. But it turns out to be dumb because she feels...
Lied to, right?
Well,
it was kind of a sleazy thing to do.
Yeah, he confesses that he's not even taking French.
Yeah.
And then Marge proceeds to slap him. He says, "You knew I had a forensics meet tomorrow, and you kept me here late knowing that I had stuff to do. You lied to me." And he says, "I hate you. I never want to see you again."
Yeah. Homer really screwed up on that one.
And she slams the door and storms out. So what does Homer naturally do? He goes through the phone and he calls Barney up and he brags that he finally has a date to the prom. Oh, God. Because she agreed to go to the prom, but I guess Marge saying she never wanted to see him again wasn't clear enough. And I guess in his mind, that didn't include
she meant after in Homer's mind or something.
Maybe. So, next thing we know.
We get interrupted again by Bart, right?
Says, "Get off the edge of your seat. They got married, had kids, bought a cheap TV, okay?" Right, and he wants to get this story over with. And
We go back,
right? And we see Marge sleepily debating
her opponent
in the forensics meet or whatever the hell it was. And we see Artie winning the trophy instead of Marge because Marge was too exhausted to put up much of a fight.
Yep.
Now, after the competition is over, right, we see Artie walking up to Marge with a big trophy and a 1974 on the trophy. I guess he won that in 1974. Now, if that's true, I was born in 74. I'm 45 years old. So add 17 or 18 years to that, which means Marge and Homer must be 63 by now.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
They should be 63 by now. But again, they're TV characters. And they remain ageless. Anyway.
So now with his new glory.
Yeah, he's with his glorious trophy, right? Artie walks up to Marge and says, "Would you go to the prom with me?" And then Marge goes, "Oh." And then Artie goes, "I can think of a dozen highly cogent arguments." Now, this is the first from Time Magazine, dated January 8th, 1974. And he says, "No, the best argument you can make is that I know you and I respect you, Artie. Of course, I'll be happy to go to prom with you." So, again, of course, in his mind, Homer is Marge's date. Marge said no, right?
She canceled it,
and she accepted this date from Artie. And now is the date of the prom. And we see Marge prettying herself up, right? And we see Marge's mom says, Mrs. Bouvier, right? She says, "If you pinch your cheeks, they'll glow. A little more, try to break some capillaries, dear." And then Marge goes, "Couldn't we just use rouge for this?" And her mom goes, "Ladies pinch, whores use rouge." A little harsh, I think.
Yeah, but then again, Marge's mom is a character.
Yes, she is. Next thing we know, Homer gets to the Bouvier household. And Selma opens the door. And Selma goes, "Marge's dates get homelier all the time." And then Patty goes, "That's what you get when you don't put out."
So obviously Marge's sisters operate on a different system.
Yes, yes. By the way, whether or not they're Patty or Selma, which said what? We're just taking a guess because you're identical twins.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're just assuming. Next thing we know, we see Homer talking to Mr. Bouvier about his date with Marge. And Marge comes in and is shocked to find Homer standing in the living room. And you, if you're watching this, right, you can see them take three pictures. And all the pictures go from surprise
to just straight up rage.
Shock to rage. Right, you see the three emotions in three different pictures, and then Homer said, "Well, actually, anyway, at this time, Artie also come. This is right before Artie comes in, yeah. And then Marge is like, what are you doing here?' And yeah. Homer's like, 'You said you'd go to the prom with me.' Marge says, 'I also said I hated you, and we haven't even talked since then.'
And Homer's logic is, 'I was afraid you'd cancel our date, so I stayed away from you completely.'" Oh, my God.
Even though it meant skipping school for 3 weeks and graduating in the summer instead.
Yeah, I hope. That's what he says, yeah, I hope.
All right, so he had skipped school just to avoid Marge so he could keep the prom date. And at this time, Artie arrives and Homer leaves dejectedly. But he rented a limo. He bought this tux with wide lapels and really a lot of ruffles. And it's not going to go to waste, right?
He's going to the prom.
Mm-hmm. He is still going to go to the prom, right? He insists going to the prom. Next thing we know, we're at the prom. And we see Principal Don DeLinger saying...
He's chaperoning the prom.
He sees somebody walk in and says, "Wait a minute, is that a bong?" And the student points at his throat. "Oh, you have asthma. All right, keep move along."
Indeed it was.
It was a bong, though, right? The asthma inhalers are not that big. But Principal Don DeLinger fell for it. So next thing we know, we see Homer in line for prom pictures. And he takes a picture of himself, dateless. And he sits down for dinner, right? And when he sits down for dinner, we see Barney running across. He's across the dance floor completely naked because he decided to streak at the prom. Right? By the way, Homer does hand his two tickets to the ladies that's picking up the... And he's asking, "What do you want, the steak or chicken?" He says, "I'll have both."
There you go. That's true.
He has both. Right? He doesn't want to let any of that money go to waste.
Barney's making his mark on the high school lore.
Yes, he's streaking across completely naked. And next thing we know, they're announcing the prom king and queen. And what do you know? It is Artie and Marge. And Artie's acceptance speech goes something like this. "Hello, classmates. Instead of voting for some athletic hero or a pretty boy, you have elected me, your intellectual superior, as your king. Good for you." Which leads us to believe that Artie has a very inflated sense of himself.
He's got a huge ego for sure.
Yes, he does. We see Artie and Marge dancing, and this is just too much for Homer. And he leaves angrily, and he sits down on the stairwell, and he starts to cry. Marge sees this, and she walks out, and she's asking himself why he's putting himself through this. And he explains that he thought that they were destined to be together, right? She's his soulmate, right? And then Marge says, "Well, you know, that's just not true. I don't feel that same way," and she walks away. And Homer walks back out to his limo. And the driver goes, where to now, Romeo? And then Homer goes, "Inspiration Point." To which
the driver says, "Okay, but I'm only paid to drive." So we can gather that Inspiration Point
is the makeout spot.
That's the makeout spot, yeah.
By the way, if you've ever watched Happy Days, and I don't think you have. You have?
I have, yeah.
Well, Inspiration Point is the makeout point. It's a makeout spot in Happy Days. Inspiration Point. That is the inspiration for calling it Inspiration Point. So we're at Inspiration Point, and Artie is pawing at Marge, and she's telling him to stop, but he won't stop, and he keeps going.
He's very handsy.
Yes, he's very, very handsy, and he's like, Artie, stop, stop, Artie, stop. And she finally has enough, and she slaps him as he tears her dress, right? He tears one of the straps from her dress, and he says, and she asks Artie to drive her home. And, you know, at this point, by this point, the limo driver says, you know, the time is up. If you want me to drive you home, it'll cost you another $40.
Yeah.
And Homer says, nope, I'm broke. I'll just walk home. And then the limo driver drives off, and we see Homer walking down this
lonely,
dark road at night. And Artie and Marge drive past him. And Marge notices Homer walking home in the dark, really, really dejectedly. And as they get to Marge's house, Artie steps out of the car and he says, Marge, I would appreciate it if you didn't tell anybody about my busy hands. Not so much for myself, but I am so respected that it would damage the town to hear it. Good night! And then he drives off, and then Marge goes, yeah, right. And as Marge is about to walk into the parents' house, she hears them talking about Homer. She hears Mr. Bouvier saying, you know, when that Simpson boy showed up, it took years off my life. And that gets Marge to thinking. And next thing we know, we see Homer still walking down the road with his jacket over his shoulder and his head hung low as he's walking down, really, really depressed. And we see a car driving up behind him, honking at him. And she's like, I'm already as far over as I can.
Yeah.
And the car keeps honking. She says, all right, all right. I'll walk in the mud. Was that what you want? So he's stomping around in the mud. And then Marge pulls up and she opens the door for Homer.
Mm-hmm. And so Marge has come to save Homer from this long, lonely walk.
Yes.
She's realized that maybe she does like the guy after all.
She says, I realized that who I should have gone to prom with.
Yes.
And then Homer's like, oh, who? And then she kind of like grabs his hand and pats it. And he's like, ooh.
And he goes, she says, my prom date.
My prom date, right? And then Marge, Homer gives her his corsage. And he kind of like ties it
He fixes her broken strap.
And he's putting on the corsage. And she goes, Marge, poor Boo, right? Showing her that he actually retained some of the French that she taught him. And then Homer starts looking really sad. He's like, I got a problem. Once you stop this car, I'm going to hug you. And I'm going to kiss you. And then I'll never let you go. And then we flash back to the present. Mm-hmm. And then Homer concludes, and I never have, as he hugs her. And Lisa is touched.
She's so happy to hear this story about her parents.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bart is over here sticking his hand down his throat going, yeah, that, that.
Just gagging.
Yep. And that is how we end the episode. So I don't think I've done this with you, El Rey. I usually do this with my brother, Maverick. But let's try it this way.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 5 donuts, how would you rate this episode?
I think this is a big episode in the series. This is one of those cornerstone ones.
It gives us a background.
Yeah, this is a big, you know, puzzle piece and a lot of that. So I'm going to have to give it 5 donuts based on how important it is to the series.
Right. At first glance, I was going to give it 3 donuts, but then I started thinking about what El Rey said, of how it answers a bunch of questions we didn't know we had before we even asked ourselves.
Seeing younger versions of characters is always good.
Seeing Homer with hair and a flat stomach.
I love seeing younger Grandpa Simpson, middle-aged Grandpa Simpson.
He does have that Red Foreman vibe to him.
Yes, he does.
So I'd give this a solid 4 out of 5 donuts for myself. Now, something else we can take away from this, guys. Sometimes the person you're looking for is right in front of you, but you think you're looking for something else.
Yeah.
Right? I'll give this example, right? I went to school with my wife. I never met her there. Never ran into her. She graduated a year before I did. But there were 5,000 kids there. And odds are, if I had met her while I was in high school, I wouldn't have been interested. Because I was a high school kid, I was just young, dumb, and stupid, full of testosterone and a lot of other stupid things, right?
Yeah.
But having met her later in life...
That was to your benefit.
It was to my benefit. Because otherwise, I think would have left a really, really bad impression
on her. We're just animals.
I would have left a really bad impression on her, and she would never wanted anything to do with
it. And that's funny how that works out. It does. I mean, my parents are an example of that.
Really?
My dad has known my mom. He's 2 years older than my mom. He was 6 and she's 4. That's how long they've known each other.
Damn.
Apparently, they used to play at the same park, and he would, like, drag her around in his wagon. So they always knew of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Never hung out. They weren't good friends or anything like that. But they always knew through elementary. They went to the same middle school. They went to the same high school.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it all came together at the end. And yeah, now they're still together. Crazy.
Yeah. See, guys, you can't make it happen. Sometimes it just happens.
It just happens, right?
Homer was trying to make it happen, but it was nothing that Homer did.
No.
Right? It was Marge and her idea of what the ideal date for her was. And her ideal date turned out to be a bit of a pervert.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, she would probably be hashtagging Me Too about her date.
Because
he was like all pawing her without her permission or anything
like that. Even by past standards, that was not cool.
By the way, this is another thing I don't get about today's kids. Safe words. I don't get it.
I always thought the safest word was no.
No. Or stop.
Or stop.
Right? Once you hear no or stop, you stop.
Or it's no.
Yeah, I'm like, you have to remember foliage or something like that? No.
I understand the safe words. Those are used in other situations.
I know. But still, why would you need them? Just say stop.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's my philosophy on that. The safest word anyone can use is stop or no. And guys, when you hear that, you should stop right away. Yes, it doesn't mean keep trying. Mm-hmm. It means stop. It doesn't mean keep trying until I say no. It doesn't mean keep trying until I say yes.
Yeah.
It means no.
Well, I think for as much as the feminists don't like you, they'll appreciate you for that one.
Hey, just because I don't like feminists doesn't mean I don't like
exactly.
women. Exactly. Right? I love me some women, right? I'll defend women all up and down, but I will never call myself a feminist. I respect myself too much for that. Anything else you think we can take away from this episode here, El Rey?
No, not really, but... I mean, I think we covered pretty much all the main themes in it. But again, man, like, honestly, like, if I was watching this for the first time, you know, when it aired, I'd probably give it a 3, like you said. But, you know, just looking back at it now, it's a 5.
Yeah, like, once you appreciate all the stories that The Simpsons have provided, it's good to get a little background on them.
And it's cool because throughout the series, we go back to these times and, you know, fill in some more gaps.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the good things about The Simpsons. it's never, well, sometimes we will go into the future and we will go into the past.
Yep.
Which is why a lot of people think that the Matt Groening has access to the television in the Vatican that can access the future.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of my favorite YouTube rabbit holes that I went into one day. Mm-hmm. Anyway, by the way, guys, stay out of those YouTube rabbit holes. You'll just wind up going crazy.
Yeah, very true.
Any last words you have for our listeners, El Rey?
Nope, just thanks for listening to everyone, and sure we'll give you another episode very soon.
All right, guys, don't forget to visit the official show Instagram page, which is official_Homer's_donuts, without the apostrophe. I have been making some memes. It's been a little hard with all the politics going on. I try to stay out of the political fray with my show anyway, because, you know, I don't want to alienate anyone from either side. And of course, The Simpsons is infamous for making fun of both sides of the aisle. So if you don't like that, I guess you can stop listening. I won't count it as a loss. But you should be able to appreciate it when somebody you should be able to make fun of yourself too.
Yes, if you can't make fun of yourself, then you're wasting your time.
Yeah, I mean, I make fun of myself that I'm short and bald all the time, and I don't care. Why? I'd rather be short than dumb.
There you go.
Right? That's always my big go-to, right? When some big, when some tall kid asked me if I ever wish I was taller, I'm like, no, I'd rather be short than dumb. And then he's like, what are you trying to say, sir? Well, nothing.
What are you trying to say?
What are you trying to say? If you feel dumb, it's not on me, it's on you, man. Well, anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this, and come back next week for yet another episode of Homer's Donuts. Until then, au revoir, suckers.